You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy and Steve and Pete. Can't make it, guys. He's on an anti-wax march. Not anti-vax, anti-wax. He's not a big fan of hair wax. He prefers gel. And he's sick of how, you know, gel's being put down a lot by people and that wax is the new trendy thing. And he hates that. He's saying, no, gel has its place in society. Come on, guys. There's him and a couple of mates. You know, not many people. It's not very popular, to be honest. But, you know, you've got to stand up for what you believe in, yeah?
He's got surprisingly strong views on this.
Yeah, I know.
It's not something that's really bothered me in the past, but yeah.
He uses too much gel, though, way too much. Literally, you can cut your hands on his hair, you know, the spikes he uses. It's nuts, and he doesn't wash it off. You know, he just puts more on top. So literally, his head's like concrete. Unbelievable. But it's quite dangerous, really, if he, you know, bumps into somebody else and poke their eye out, you know. But there we are, you know. I said, Pete, come on, it's just come on the Weekend Podcast, yeah? But you say now he's dating, Pat. That was a ruse, apparently. He's dating, is he? He's gone on a date.
He's dating someone, yeah.
Is he?
Does he tell you this stuff, Pad, not us then?
Yeah.
Oh, I can understand why you didn't tell Justin, but...
What? Why? I'm the epitome of, you know, discretion.
Aren't I? You just ask too many questions.
You are like an old woman with gossip.
That's true. Talk about old women. Just come back from Tenerife. Yeah, Tenerife. Yeah, hola.
Oh, yeah. How was it? What was the weather like?
Awful. Dreadful.
Really?
Yeah, oh. my father goes there about 4 times a year, same place, golf de Sir, and he said this has been the worst week I've had here. And I thought you meant generally with me there and my mother. And I said, oh, really? He said, no, weather-wise. I said, okay. But no, the weather, literally, the hottest day was the day we were leaving. That sort of sums it up, really. You know, it really sums up that...
How hot was it?
It was about 20. I mean, it wasn't cold, just overcast, you know? There was no sun. It was like, you know, you couldn't say, I probably sunbathed for like 2 hours in the entire week, you know?
No one wants to see that though, do they?
Yeah. We went to, what's it called, Costa Deci. We sat on the beach for like an hour and a half there. The guys came round selling the stuff, the African guys, you know? I bought
Costa Deci?
Yeah, Costa Deci, yeah. A Deci, whatever you call it. But and the African guys came round. I bought a couple bits and pieces off them. I had a massage as well. And this African guy came round and sold me this big... I forgot my towels. I didn't have a towel for the sunbed. And so I bought this big Tenerife sort of shawl. My mother said to him, are you from Blackwood?
I'm guessing he wasn't.
He was probably from West Africa, you know, judging by his accent and his looks and generally the fact that he's in Tenerife. the chance of seeing an African guy on the beach in Tenerife being from Blackwood, it's quite slim, to be honest.
It's very... Imagine if he had been.
Yeah. Yes, I am, yes. I pretend to be African because I get a bit more deals, you know. People like the banter and stuff. But, yeah, it works for me, the African thing. But, yeah. We came off the plane yesterday. I left my phone on the plane. I felt like a terrorist. I run. Everyone had gone off a plane and I was, you know, helping out with my mother and father. I left my phone. I actually put it in the fold away tables. I put it in there. So I run back to the plane. No one else was around. I realised I had no suitcases, just me running back to a plane. I looked quite dodgy. I guess someone could take me out here, couldn't they? But I got there. But the thing is, we're walking off the plane. My mother's got you know, memory issues, and she is obsessed with bags and stuff she's taken with. Where's my bag? Did I bring a bag? I didn't have a bag. She didn't have a bag. No, we generally do go out now. We don't take her bag with her because she'll lose it. But she's always asking for bags, you know. She's got the end. You know, you go off and they're all smiling at you on the at the end, the cabin crew, and say, "Thank you for flying with us. Thank you for flying with us." My mother said to them, "Where's my bag?" Said, "What?" The young guy said, "What? My bag. Have you seen my bag? I had a bag. I came home with a bag." He said, "Oh, fair play." He said, "He's put it on the carousel." "All right, thank you." Just went off there. Yeah, some funny times. When you're with someone, you got to laugh at it. When you're with someone with dementia, you got to laugh. One of the things we did, we stood in the lift, right, going to our room, and there's a mirror in the lift. And she looked at me, looked at the guy in the mirror who was me, my reflection, and went, "Oh, look at you two. You look so alike." And then she said, "Who?" And I tried to film it. I said, "Who? You and him. You and this gentleman here." She said, "You and this gentleman." And said, "Look, isn't that, don't they look alike?" She turned to herself, her reflection, said, "Don't they look alike?" And she was nodding. Said, "See? Even the woman agrees."
Oh, bless her.
I know, but right. You got to have a laugh, don't you? You know, yeah, otherwise, what else are you doing in life, guys? You don't laugh at it, you know, because it's going to come to us all. This old age nonsense. It's one thing you can't, you know, stock market sell-offs, this is the way I bring it in, stock market sell-offs are temporary, but age, no, it's only one way, guys.
Well, it's temporary at the moment. It's also temporary, isn't it?
Yes. Well, do you know what's annoying? It is. I looked at it recently, yesterday, I think it was, or today. There's a Chinese New Year, and they have animals, don't they? It must be the... For me, it's been the year of the bear, because it's been awful. When I looked up, it was the year of the tiger. Apparently, next year's the rabbit. But, yeah, it's been awful. And I did say on Twitter earlier on, I said, well, that was one of the worst weeks in the markets I've had since last week. I said, looking at the positives, though, you know, it probably wasn't as bad as the week before, because that's the way it is, every week. It's down to... Guys, I want to give you a challenge here, right? The massive issue here is inflation. You know, that is the massive inflated, you know, gas inflated elephant in the room is inflation. It's going to be a problem. The Bank of England guy, do you know what? That annoyed me. That's so, I read that on the podcast today. The 65 things you need to know podcast. I do a small one in the morning, very early on. Macro stuff. Bank of England governor says, don't ask for a big pay rise because it'll just exacerbate the problem. I thought, what? Hang on, what? So I looked it up. Andrew Bailey was paid $575,000 in his first year as the Bank of England guy. $575,000. I think this guy's an idiot. Get rid of him straight away. It's all right for you to say that, mate. When you're on £500,000 a year and bonuses, you're not going to be struggling to put food on the table or heat your house. Don't tell people who are on minimum wage they can't ask for a pay rise because then, you know, basically freezing and starving. Why can't we get rid of these imbeciles who have no contact with real people in the real world? I don't understand. In every part of the government, there's all these idiots. What we need is someone, all we need is someone with very common sense, in touch with real people, who also encourages people to create their own wealth in some way, to be entrepreneur, you know, to go for their dreams as well if they can, to create some wealth for other people as well. Is that too much to ask? These people seem way out of touch. Andrew Bailey, get rid of him.
Has it got worse of recent? So I don't remember like politicians and people like this being so bad. Like, or is it just brought to the front at the moment?
Yeah, well,
they've always been like this. I just don't remember the Tories in the '90s. They were pretty bad. They were bad in a different way, but they were back then. They used to resign for having affairs and stuff, and if they did something wrong, they would actually go. Whereas this lot, just I guess the problem is they just won't leave. They won't.
Boris, it should leave now. I mean, but he's one of those guys that said, you know. He's completely delusional. We all know he's a liar. The only person who says he's not a liar is him, but he's a liar. Don't believe a liar, because he's lying. It's like, people who are mad don't know they're mad, because they're mad. That's the very definition of madness, you know? So he's a lot, people don't understand, he's a liar. Do you know that? He won't admit it, because he's a liar. He doesn't believe he is. It's as simple as that. So you have to get him out of there. And I've seen that guy from the Bank of England said, mate, you should. I mean, not only that, if I was him, I wouldn't be commenting on other people. If I'm earning £500,000 a year in wages, and I'm, you know, from some tough school somewhere, generally doing quite well, you know, I'm not wanting for it, I wouldn't be, you know, telling people to not go for wage. I mean, they're so out of touch, just in their perception, their PR, you know. Just say, just stick to the facts, Andrew. Don't give opinion on people's lives, because they're a lot different than yours. Most people in this country earn a lot less than you, you know.
Well, and what's worse is that second line, because it might exacerbate the problem. Like, if you're on a low income, I'm sorry, but you're in it for yourself, really. You really have to be thinking about yourself.
Yeah.
The idea that someone in that situation is going to think about the wider economy.
Exactly.
And I thought that.
What am I going to worry about? If I'm working for Tesco, right, stacking shelves, and I'm skint, you know, and I can't afford, am I going to think, like, oh, I shouldn't really ask for a pay rise?
Because
Tesco is going to have to put the prices up and everyone's going to suffer.
Yeah.
But my kids can't eat and I can't eat and I can't eat the house, so I'll put jumpers on. You know, I wonder, I think about the greater economy. So how out of touch is that? It's like, that in itself is that, like, you're sacked, mate. You're so out of touch. If I was in charge of that guy, say, like, you're sacked. You're so out of touch, we don't need you there. Leave someone with some common sense, for heaven's sake. But do you know what? Inflation is quite dangerous, isn't it? It leads to recessions and excessive inflation. It does. And I was thinking today, I was looking at Amazon, in fact, on the podcast in the morning. Amazon are now raising their Prime membership, you know? So in the States, this is. So 17% increase in Prime. And I've got Prime over here. It's only going to be a matter of time, because the shipping costs in America are very similar to the shipping costs around the world. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be going up here. And I'm thinking, when you're investing sometimes, you have to look at what you're invested in. Is it discretionary or non-discretionary? Basically, you know, if it's non-discretionary, things you don't really need, stuff like that, you know, discretionary, things you don't need. So is it a luxury? Is it something you really need or something you don't need? And will it be affected massively? And I'm thinking now, if people are going to cut costs, the first thing they cut costs on are recurring subscriptions that they don't actually need too much. And even now, I'm thinking, Amazon, do I care if I get free delivery? I know, do I really need it? And I think, I don't watch Amazon Prime that much. I've got other things going on, Netflix and all that stuff. So I'll cut that. And the result of that is, I'll order less from Amazon. So Amazon will be shipping less. And where does that fall, though? Where does that end up? If they're shipping less and they're selling less, it's the person on the low wage that gets hit in the neck again, isn't it? You know, they say, oh, we don't need as many warehouse staff now. So they'll go, and the warehouse staff are the least paid. So
I sort of see what you're saying. I think Amazon's probably a bad example, because they are like leeches, aren't they? And they are responsible for quite a lot of those jobs being hoovered up by one huge corporation, whereas actually those people might be better off there working for a slightly smaller firm. But yeah, like, people will be making tough decisions in every part of their lives, won't they? They'll be deciding whether they can drive to the shop, where they're going to walk to the shop. They're going to be deciding whether they can turn their heating on, whether they can, where they'll be doing their shopping, how much they'll be able to buy. I'm not sure people who make these decisions in Parliament or who are responsible for policy really, I don't think Rishi Sunak, with his millions and millions and his billionaire wife, has any
I'm not saying him though. I'm saying there are people. I'm not saying you can't be rich and understand what's going on. You can, of course you can. There are plenty of people who are well off who understand that there's, you know, there are people in society a lot less well off than them, because, you know, let's be honest, they're not unintelligent, these people. It's just what I'm talking about is they're how out of touch they are. So as long as I don't care how much money they've got or how well they've done, that to me is the politics of envy. What I'm saying is, you have to understand the majority of people in the country, you know, who are on minimum wage.
But I think there is also a misconception, like, for someone who with that huge amount of wealth, like, he is never ever going to have to think about turning the heating on ever. And he can, someone can tell him that this is an issue that a few people have, but unless he's actually sat there in a freezing house with kids screaming, wondering what the weather's going to be like, because that has a direct impact on how warm he's going to be for the next week. Like, that is fundamental, because if he did understand that, perhaps the policies that he put through this week, which I think in his eyes were very generous and probably were in terms of the millions of pounds it's going to cost, but actually in reality, that's not going to help very many people.
These chancellors and all people like this, right, they tend to have meetings with the top 100 CEOs of the country, right? Why don't they have meetings with 100 people who are actually suffering, you know, in on minimum wage? So you go from the top end to the bottom end, and so you get a sort of, you know, just a touch in base with these people, understand what they're on about. So I tell you what, even now, it'll affect sentiment across the board. I don't know if you've looked at, you know, already looked at the odd bills. Megan's getting obsessed with it. She's literally in the house.
Oh, yeah, I've gone through the roof. It's ridiculous.
Well, in the house just now, right? I'm sitting there thinking, I've got a T-shirt on, which I probably shouldn't have in my house. And I said, somebody warned me, Meg, is it? She said, I've turned the heating off. So what? You turned the heating off? Why? And she goes from one extreme to the other. So I said, we never ever have the heating up high anyway. I said, well, just electricity bills. You know, people start switching. She's starting to switch. I used to switch the lights off all the time, right? She doesn't, because they're LED lights, I know, but everything helps. But she started switching them off a bit more now. So that's not a bad thing. But you do understand how the behaviour of people change very quickly, just knowing you've got a big bill coming on the line, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that affects a lot of people. I'm talking about, and this is on stuff we need. So if you're on stuff you don't need, that's how we go into recession territory. And it could happen if you tighten too fast and everyone starts and the bills go. So I want to solve, boys. Energy, right? It's a massive problem. Like you said last week, Pad, it's the base, you know, case for all companies have to use energy. If their bills go up, of course, they put the prices on somewhere else. So Tesco use a lot of energy. You know, all these big companies use a lot of energy. They have to put the prices up. So I was thinking, right, because this week the government are giving loans to energy companies or something they've said they're going to do so they could pay the bills. And I thought, well, this is really complex. Why is everything so complex in politics? Why can't they simplify it? So I think, what's the best way of solving this? Because you've got, you know, I don't know, what's your thoughts? Pete, Steve, how do we bring the cost of energy down? Because it's an essential thing. It's like water. It's essential. You know, people need it. You can't just go skyrocketing, can it? People die.
Well, it's a complex one.
Yeah,
it's a really complex. Supply and demand is a huge part of this, isn't it? Like, I mean, there is a lack of supply in terms of gas around the world, so that's why the prices are going up. And so that's something that could potentially be solved by maybe digging up more gas, which is not a good idea. Costs of renewables are coming down, but they're not that reliable. Basically, Britain needs to be more self-sufficient in terms of its energy and its where it gets it from. Yeah. But then also you have to look at how that's distributed in the UK. And obviously we sold off all of the energy companies years ago, which has not been a success. It's been a success for the shareholders of those companies, but not for people like us or anyone who's a consumer, because the prices have had to be kept artificially high to pay the dividends. And perhaps there's an argument, or there always has been an argument, but there definitely is an argument now for either nationalising it or going down the route like the French have, where it's a company that's fully owned by the government, allowing them to make decisions on the behalf of the people in that country rather than just the shareholders.
Yeah, yeah. But I know Steve said there, so it's going to be around for a while, but they're going to renew the energy caps every three months now rather than 6 months.
They said it's going to last about 2 years, they said. So that's when they'll exist to do a restoring.
Even Steve, some people are struggling right now anyway.
Oh, no. I'm just saying, I think it's going to be about 2 years before we even see any kind of reductions happen, isn't it? So
that's a long time, isn't it? If you're on the red line anyway, that's a long time. It's like, that's the difference between literally, you know, you can die in 2 years if you're not eating properly. But this is what I thought, right? Like, you're right, it's an essential. I'm not for full nationalisation, because let's be honest, this government, they're quite good at organising a bit up in a brewery or in down the street, but I don't trust them with anything else. So this is what I thought. Look at Shell, for example, right? Old industry, transitioning to, you know, renewables and that stuff. But they announced net profit climbed to $6.4 billion in the final quarter of this year. This is up from $393 million the previous year. So that's an amazing upside, isn't it? From $393 million to $6.4 billion. And they had $4.13 billion in the 3 months of September. Huge profits. So they're doing a share buyback. But they're a private company, they're allowed to do that. No, the CEO answers to shareholders, you know, that's what he does. So he has to do that. So you do a share buyback, up the dividend, shareholders are happy. But yet, he's getting his profits from, you know, high energy oil and gas. So how do you redirect those profits in a manner where we're not like some African country just taking over a company, you know, and saying, oh, we're having that now? How do you do that?
Well, no, you do that. Why the hell not? These assets are our assets. In Norway, there's a sovereign wealth fund which kept them all as part of the national interest. So you are directly benefiting from the natural resources of your country. I think in the Ukraine they've done something similar, where they've decided to give every child that's born a share of the natural resources of that country. But these are our natural resources. Why the hell are we letting Shell just divvy them up and make a profit on them?
Yeah, how about this then? Invest. You have a government fund, right, that invests. They've spent, it's going to cost them $9 billion, right, this year, investing, giving money to people, other thing. But if they'd invested and reinvested that money, because as an example, just basic math, right? So you put $10 billion in Shell shares, right? They bought them a couple of years back, say, but let's say now they're 20 quid a share. They'd get 500 million shares. That's 375 million in dividends alone. Now, you know, if you redirect that into people who need it, you know, I don't understand why governments don't.
This is what Jeremy Corbyn was saying last election, Judge Justin. You're starting to sound a little bit like Jeremy here.
You want to invest in companies.
This was exactly his point. He was saying, like, we can renationalize all of these industries, and it won't actually cost the exchequer or anything, because eventually these companies will pay for themselves. So you do it over a period of however many years, but actually you buy it, and then actually the company, because it's already profitable and it's guaranteed to be profitable, will repay that.
Who would be in charge? But the thing is, what would happen then, though, is Shell is not, they don't earn their money from the UK, pretty much. They earn a bit from the majority around the world. So you can't, nationalising that wouldn't be any good. What I'm saying is, why not just be a big shareholder in old companies that are checking out lots of cash right now, and redirect that where it's needed?
BP was privatised, wasn't it? That was a nationalised company, and they sold that one off. I think the British part of Shell was also. It's definitely possible. And then you do like EDF in France. Like, EDF is not a government agency. It's a proper company with a proper board, and it's all run like a, you know, very profitable company. And that's how they're able to keep their that's how they're able to go around Europe buying up other energy companies. But it just happens to be owned by the French state.
Yeah, but you look at that. Even if they owned, like, their initial investment was $10 billion, which is nothing for this government. They wasted more than that on PPE. You know, $10 billion. If you compound that up in dividends, they'd be earning chunk loads of money every year. Now, that money could either be redirected to, like, for example, for, you know, winter payments for people, or reinvested in renewables, you know, because which is what Shell are doing anyway, or given incentives. So it incentivizes renewables, and because we are in a big energy gap, a transition where, of course, renewables are the way forward, but we need oil and gas in the meantime, and yet we don't have any, or, you know, we're discouraging it in some way. So why not just invest, reap the rewards from the dividends and the share cap, you know, rising, the capital, and just reinvest it. Investing is the answer to everything. If something is working, if a business is improving in some way, invest in it. Like I said, there's only two ways to get wealthy in this world, apart from winning the lottery and drug dealing, of course, like you point out. But that's, you know, own a successful business or a share of one. Obviously, with Tory government, people would be worried about corruption and all that stuff, investing in mates of mates companies, but isn't that the way forward for anything, really? Just to create wealth, investing in companies that are doing well. Isn't that the basic? Isn't that odd how that is? You know, if you're a company that's doing well and improving, invest in the business, and then you reap rewards from it.
Also, like, Channel 4 is a decent example of how this can work when it works well. So that's obviously a corporation, but it's also owned by the government. But because of the nature of the business they're in, they are forced to what's the word I'm looking for? They're forced to commission programs from lots of other production companies around London and around the country. So they generate millions and millions of pounds worth of IP in the stuff that they produce, but also keep thousands of people in jobs. and almost created a whole industry just by being in existence. And then the government gets a sort of second bite at the cherry in terms of some money, because all the profits from Channel 4 just go straight back into the exchequer. So yeah. When this is done well, it can really work well for the country and for the exchequer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the biggest issues, isn't it, in the country is insulation, isn't it? Houses not very well insulated, you know, and they're not very efficient and they're losing energy. And they did have that a while back, do you know, the Green Energy Grant. But that was a farce. Yeah. So like Megan was one of the only... They had, like, I think 600,000 people apply and 10% got grants because... It was because there was no calls, there was no staff. They couldn't get the contractors. It was just an absolute shambles.
Do you know what? I think it's about general. Like when we went into the pandemic, it's funny how suddenly when you have to do something, the government can throw all the money and resources at it. Although not very well. It's like if you imagine tomorrow, we run out of fossil fuels. I can pretty much guarantee within a couple of pretty soon they'd sort it out, wouldn't they? If they had to. But the fact is,
Let's be honest. There's 23 million people, right? 23 million households around about that in this country. So if you look at the people actually struggling, what is that? Half of that? 12 million? Yeah. What's 12 million times 1,000? I don't mean to do the maths here.
Times 1,000?
Yeah, well, 1,000 quid, because everyone's brother's got like 700 quid, haven't they? So okay. That's 12 billion. They wasted more than that on PPE. So they've given like 300 quid. So I mean, because let's be honest, not everyone is not going to be able to pay their bill. But half of those, even half, is probably over exaggerated. We are talking about, you know, there are people who will struggle, of course. But I mean, half of those people, 12. So it can be done. It seems very complex politics and thinking. Just look at the figures. You know, you're wasting this much on this, this much on this. You can just do this and do this. It's simple. It's like, odd, isn't it? Anyway, you know.
We need a revolution, Justin. That's what we need.
Well,
it starts here.
I'm in for evolution. Have you noticed that, though? It's funny that you said that tweet by that girl. She basically ripped off the Daily Mail. But Rishi Sunak, the mate of the guy. So what is it? The people who stepped down. I didn't get the news. I flew in last night at 11 o'clock and landed 11:30 in Bristol Airport. I got on Google Maps, sent me... I didn't even hit an A road for like 10, 20 miles. It sent me all around the place. Anyway, and also I was anxiety range. I had anxiety range on my battery on my phone. So I had Google Maps on the thing telling me where to go. I didn't know where the heck I was. There was no lights. And I had like 10% of my battery left on my app. But anyway, I was driving through. I got down. I said, what, four people have resigned from Boris Johnson's government. And the top person is apparently her husband... is good mates with Rishi Sunak, aren't they? They're saying this is a move for Rishi Sunak. And I don't know.
And then he did a big press conference yesterday, and then he was also on the, what's his name, the money guy.
He's definitely making a play for it, isn't he? Like I said, you know, Boris, the first question time Boris had about the parties, he couldn't have been further away. He was like down in southwest England, announcing new jobs and stuff, new job scheme and loans, all that stuff. So he's trying.
And in comparison to Boris, like he suddenly looks like a breath of fresh air, and he's very like he speaks with like a little bit more authority, and it's not a big bumbling mess.
I think his voting record
is pretty, you know, nasty as well.
I know, but do you know what? I know he's married to the daughter of one of the richest guys in India and all that stuff. But I do think he's I remember Pete saying boring is good. You know, boring. Trouble is, we vote for characters, and people don't delve into the politics of many people or the background of many people. They just see a guy there. He's quite funny. On If I Got News for You, I quite like him. You know, a bit of friend, because most politicians are boring. But boring sometimes is very good, isn't it? You need like a
that didn't work with Theresa May, though, did it?
No, it didn't. But what did she do wrong then, Theresa? Now she's looking good, and she could be in Boris. It's like
would have been perfect during the pandemic, though, wouldn't she? Just would have got it all right. I think probably.
Anyway, so how's your portfolios, boys? Who posted that? Pete was saying. He said now at a 12-month low.
Yeah,
I'm like that as well.
I wouldn't say I'm flying. Let me have a look. About the same as it's been for the last month or so.
Yeah, the thing about nothing exciting. Steve, you checked your book. I would discourage. Right, I think the best thing to do is literally only read financial updates. I don't mean trading updates I don't mean news from companies that are RNS and not really, they're just a bit of hot air. Only read financial updates and look at the companies, what they project growth-wise, because we are in growth companies, and see if they're achieving that. If they're not, get out. That's it. That's all you need to do. That's all you need to do with investing. Are they achieving the growth they said they would? Not what their brokers say, or something you're happy with. For example, Gfinity, right? And the brokers append in like 40% growth or something. You shouldn't think in terms of that so much. All you can do with the company, I mean, it's hard at the moment. All my stocks, all my microcaps are in bear markets. They're all like more than 20% from their highs, all of them. And that's, you know, in industry terms, that's a bear market. So all of my stocks are in bear markets. And I'm very bullish because of that, because bear markets don't last very long. I know we are now have a wall of worry in front of us. Inflation's going to last for years and years. But stock markets tend to rally way ahead of the good news coming out, you know. So you see any sort of indication that something good is coming out. I mean, do you see today in America more jobs in the hospitality sector were added than expected? And that was good news, bad news, because they were saying, okay, because it's good news, it's actually bad news. Because now, and wages went up in the hospitality sector in America because that adds to the inflation story. So the Fed are going to have to do something about that and actually increase interest rates. So all you can do is look at the stocks you're in and see if they are achieving decent growth. And I look for growth 20% year-on-year revenue. If they're going to achieve that, that's good. You can't, you know, sometimes you can have more than that, but they're way under that. Is a problem. That's all you can do. Because look at the company you're invested in. It's a business. Don't think of the share price. It's a business. Look at it and say, is it good value? You know, or is it ridiculously silly overvalued? If it's overvalued, you're going to have a problem because it's going to be finding hard to grow into that valuation in the next few years. Is it good value? Will the company create significantly more value over the next 3 years? If they will, and you're confident they will, and the updates are saying they will, by that I mean interim results and final results, if they're doing that, hold. That's all you can do. You can't judge the macro. Buffett's famous for saying he doesn't pay any attention to the macro. And he said, if the stock market shut down tomorrow, I wouldn't care because the businesses, you know, I'm invested in are doing well. And that's the way you should look at it. Are the businesses doing well? You know, and that's it, isn't it?
The problem is not everyone does that, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Well, no, exactly. The disconnect. The problem I have right at the moment is I don't have a lot of cash. That's the only issue I have. If I had more cash, I'd be buying more of the stocks I own. You know, if I had like a big chunk sitting there, I'd be just topping up on a daily, weekly basis. Because I think these companies will be a lot better in about a year's time, even 3 years' time. Excellent if they keep going with the way they're going. So that's the only issue. If you've bought at this level, the stock markets have sell-offs, and we think, oh, I'm 23% down on paper loss, but I can't top up. That's the only problem, isn't it, really? I mean, would you buy this? The stocks I'm in, I'd buy again. That's a telling thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a few of them just sort of like nudging in the right direction. Like it does feel like they've stagnated for several months now.
Eight, nine months. Yeah, I know.
Might give me a little more confidence to start putting a bit more in. I just want to see something like
go back to the financial results now. Okay, like for example, Gfinity is going to do a trading update very soon. So I don't know what the growth figures here are. They're talking about 9.4 million for the full year. Now they've gone past their half year. So you're looking at roughly, you know, that's the broker target, by the way. But if you're looking at 20% growth, it's less than that. So what did they do last year? 5.7? So if you're looking at like 7 million for the full year, that's still very good growth. Now, what the problem is stocks sell off because they don't hit expectations. What are the expectations? Expectations are created by the broker, you know, in conjunction with the company. So if they don't hit that, they'll fall. But that's an opportunity again. So I would say to anyone, if you're going to invest in a company, if you've got your eye on a microcap or small cap stock or anything, wait for the results. Wait for the results. Definitely in, you know, because companies tend to rally towards results and then they sell afterwards because there's always things to pick through, and there's always critics. So that's the chance. Well, but if their growth is still on target, pick it up, buy some more. But I haven't got any cash. Do you have any spare cash, Pete, Pad?
No. Was it last week? I said I chucked in a bit into my Vanguard funds just to like my yearly top up. So
yeah,
but not really.
I had to do a little bit of top slicing this week to try and take advantage, but. We'll see how that goes. So far, it's been an absolute disaster.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I said, if you don't need the money now, then don't worry about it. You're investing in a company that's going to do a lot better. That's why I don't understand trading. Trading is very hard. Jumping in and out, in and out, in and out. And it may seem more tempting in sell-offs like this to jump in and out. But generally, even if you look at the stats from the companies that do spread betting accounts, trading accounts, 75% of people lose money. So that's a huge, you know, you wouldn't, would you go into a business, right? If someone said to you, oh, listen, 75% of people who start the business in this area lose money and go out of business. You wouldn't start the business, would you? You would think, oh, I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous. I'm never going to fail. I'm never going to win. There's no point, is there? You know, but even like, you know, XP Factory, good update, all of a sudden, people start selling off a little bit here and there, and thinking, oh.
Yeah, I think it's lower than it was before the results now, isn't it?
Yeah. But exactly, they're going to be doing about 25 million of revenue this year. Their market cap is only 40 million, pretty much. So, you know, you could put some of that on 2-3 times sales quite comfortably. So this will be, you know, by this time it's going to be undervalued.
So if a decent update like that last one doesn't get it going, and it was down again today, wasn't it? Like, what is going to get it going?
But the thing is, that last week, people understand, last week that update was only about escape rooms. One section of the business has had consistency, you know, because they've just bought Boom Battle Bar, so they only had a month worth of figures, and they've already got, what, 6 or 8 open now? So, and a few of those opened over Christmas period, so they couldn't post figures in there because they have no figures. But when they post a decent, you know, run of 6 months, for example, say now from January to end of June on Boom Battle Bar and escape rooms and the franchisees, you'll realise, well, in fact, the revenue's just tripled on that. People sort of catch
probably
on then. You know?
Probably go down again then.
No, honestly, no. People are looking at, you know, the growth, 133%. But there's still only 5.1 million revenue and their market cap is 42 million. So people say, oh, that's still, you know, several times sales, that. It's not cheap. But what they're not factoring in is that they've now got a load of Boom Battle Bars as well that do 3 times the revenue of an escape room. So, you know, so that they have not been factored into any, you know, projections yet or trading updates. So they will, and I suspect they will be factored in first time after the first 6 months of trading. And I think then we'll see a re-rate because it's not yet factored in, is it? Do you know Gfinity was in there? Do you watch Apprentice? I watch. Do you know what? I struggle for things to watch on the treadmill, right, in the morning. So I just, bottom of the barrel, I went to Apprentice, right? And literally, I thought, this seems to me like an old script. I'm sure I've heard this one before. I was at a check, it wasn't a rerun. I know people are saying it's old now, Apprentice, move on. But it's exactly the same. Exactly the same. It's different faces saying the same things. They get in a taxi when they get sacked. They know it's not the last you've seen of me. And I'm thinking, do they script this or what? Because they're saying exactly the same things. Do you watch it?
No, I can't stand it. I just find it toe-curlingly awkward.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, bit of coverage for... They're at the Gfinity Arena last night, apparently. In the last
Arena? Yeah. Where's that?
That's in London, in posh area, southwest London. I can't think of what it is.
Wandsworth.
Where?
Wandsworth.
No, a bit further to the east than that. Let me think.
Richmond.
No, not that far out. I'm thinking of...
Islington.
That's north now.
No, that's wrong area.
Yeah, that's north.
Wimbledon.
Fulham. Fulham, that's what it is, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So it's literally one of the, you know, in the cinema complex there, it's in there. So in the thing, so go in there. Yeah, they've had it at the arena for ages. That's where they do all the Formula One stuff and all that stuff, you know? So, yeah. Fulham Broadway.
Oh, I see. Next to Chelsea.
Yeah, so they were there last night, apparently. But no branding. It's just all, you could tell it was like Gfinity, but yeah. And, of course, BT Sports. Haven't BT Sports merged with Eurosports or something?
I don't know. They're going to, yeah.
BT Sports are doing a documentary on esports. Now it's growing faster than traditional sports. And, of course, they're doing a big take on the V10R League, which is Gfinity's collaboration with the Abu Dhabi sort of motorsports. So gaining traction there. It's for a long time, you know, it's been going sideways, Gfinity, or down, or even sideways. I'd love it to go sideways. It's been going down.
Yeah. You know? And it's another one where it doesn't seem to make any sense. Like, the story is good. I just don't think people understand what they're doing. I think that's similar to XP Factory. I don't think no, the exactly, market no, really understands.
Yeah, people don't know the story because, listen, everyone judges the figures, right? The figures only come out twice a year. You know, pretty much, you know, interims, that's the first 6 months and the full year. Now, it's the first full year we've had where John Clark sort of being charged properly and got rid of some of the stuff he didn't want. The margin has gone up from like, you know, 13, this is gross margin, 13.13% to like at one point they're sort of close to 60%, 6-0. They're on about 45%, but they'll get better again. But revenue still was only 5.7. So you're looking at that on a 40 million market cap. That's several times. But people understand the growth that's forecasted to happen here. You know, they're going to almost double that revenue next year. So when you see that, I think it'll take a big uptick. That's why trading update would be nice to see where they are. I'm trying not to be too bullish on it. I'm happy if they underachieve on that forecast, but just have decent growth, you know, because that means they're heading in the right direction. But
is inflation going to affect any of these?
That's it. That's what I'm saying. I've been thinking for a while. When you're investing in companies, right, now there's discretionary and non-discretionary, isn't it? And things you need, for example, and things you don't need. Now, I would say Gfinity, for example, it's not affected by that because it's like done at the corporate level esports. They're going to carry on, aren't they? They're not going to stop doing esports because of a bit of inflation. How is it going to be affected?
It depends on how much money they get from advertising and whether people will cut back on advertising. But normally in recessions, advertising can stay pretty good, especially for what they've got because it's pretty cheap advertising. You would imagine it's something that where people would go rather than something they would cut.
Yeah, I think that's it. When you're talking about, that's what I'm saying about subscription things. Like, you know, when you've got six sort of TV accounts, whatever you have, five or four, where you're paying to, like, we at the moment, we have Netflix. Sky is the main one. You know, we have Netflix, Disney, and we have Prime. And I think, I'm going to cut one of those, you know, because it's every month. Now, if you're talking about going out and doing an escape room, that happens once a year or twice a year. That's fine, isn't it? You actually, if you've got a bit of spare money, you're always going to treat yourself to go to the cinema or go to do something like that. So that, to me, that is not going to be affected too much. Because, you know, whatever happens, in last downturns, there was a massive hit on hospitality because people don't go out that often. They don't go, it's not like every day or every week. You know, it's special one-offs. So you're not going to cut back on
those
kind of things.
You tend to prioritise the good ones as well, don't you? So you might you might actually use Escape Hunt more because it's a nicer experience than some of the other nasty ones.
Yeah. I mean, so look, I'm looking at things that I need. For example, I mean, the things I'm invested in. I'm thinking many times, will it be affected by inflation? I think, okay, Truefin, for example. No, not really. In fact, Satago will probably be helped in a hard condition because there are people who are not paying their invoices quickly enough. And that's Satago, you know, part of Truefin. There's gaming in there as well. There's all that stuff. There's also government, you know, contracts, which won't be affected that much. I can't see XP Factory in fact that much. G-Tech won't be. So, I mean, yeah, I'm quite happy that we're sort of insulated from a bit of inflation here. Biome maybe on shipping costs, but they've just their cash has just gone up massively. They're going to be growing next year. The big hit for them was supply chains, which is easy and getting better. Shipping rates are coming down anyway. But they've warned about that. You know, they've two trading updates knocked the share price massively, and also that's priced in. They are valued now at 9.5 million. They've got a million in cash, 8.5 million enterprise value. That's actually, you know, what is it? That's almost one times next year's sales. That's cheap. That's cheap, man.
It's a great time to buy.
It's priced in, what's what I'm saying. People sort of worry about it. It is priced in pretty much. It can't go much lower. You know, that's what it is. Look at the company. Is it good value? You know, can they increase that value significantly? Yes. Yes.
People love coffee and radio frequencies in a recession.
Exactly.
So.
Well, that's taken off as well. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Anything else to talk about? Are you watching any TV? My missus has gone back to, actually, my wife. It's a bit,
Missus.
My wife has gone back to watching Ozark because I was away and the new Ozark.
I finished that. I haven't finished it. It's halfway through a season, isn't it?
Say anything.
Well, no, I won't. But I'm just saying it's annoying because they've only released half the last season.
Really?
Yeah, they stopped. It just stopped randomly on like episode 9. I was like, what?
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not sure why.
I just realised she's watching the first, because I was in Tenerife. So I watched Ozark, the new series. I said, why? We watched it together. What are you doing? Sir Arkell.
I don't know what this is. Ozark. What's
Ozark
that?
Is brilliant, Pad. What? What?
I've never heard of this.
What?
It's a little bit like Breaking Bad, but different.
Yeah, it's God, very good. Breaking Bad is a bit more far fetched. Ozark is, but it's quite good, Pad. It's a guy who's basically an accountant in a company, and he realizes his company's involved in dodgy things, but he sort of pursues it because he has to, really. But it's very good.
What channel is it on?
It's Netflix, is it? Yeah, Netflix. Yeah.
Check it out then.
Yeah.
There's apparently a new Jack Reacher. I don't know if it's a film or a series.
I've read all those books. I'm sick of them because it was brilliant. I used to love Jack Reacher. If you want to get into books, Steve, start with Jack Reacher, right? It's like literally, have you heard of Jack Reacher?
Yeah, I've seen them all on Amazon.
It's not seen them.
Seen them all. They're out today.
Yeah, there's only one.
No, there's
one film. The books. The guy Lee Child is from Manchester. He used to work for a TV production company in Manchester, and he started writing books. He's done very, very well. You know, they're a massive international bestseller. But it's based on a guy called Jack Reacher, who's a military police, ex-military police guy. He's about 6'5", and he gets in a fight, Steve, right? And he beats everyone up. He's basically a real life. He travels around the country, only carries a toothbrush, no toothpaste, and literally lives off the means of that. And he always stumbles into some kind of crime, and he sorts out the bad guys. Unbelievable fighter. And a massive part of why he wins the fights is he's a big guy. He's a big guy, 6'5". You don't mess with him. And then Tom Cruise loved the book so much, he decided he wanted to produce a film, but he also wanted to be the star. Then Tom Hanks is 5'2". So everyone's laughing. But of course, if you get approached by Tom, if you get a phone call, you know, your Lee Child writing these books, and the guy calls him, "Hey, Lee, it's Tom Cruise. I really like the books, man. I want to produce them." "Oh, that's great, Tom. I also want to star in them as Jack Reacher." What the fuck? You're not going to say, "I'm sorry." You're not going to say, "Tom, you're a short ass. You can't star in this." The whole thing about the main character is massive. But so I've watched one film and...
So they've recast it now and they've got a 6'5" guy.
Oh, have they?
It looks like Jack Reacher.
Yeah. Oh, good. Who is the guy then? Who is the new guy?
I don't know his name. I think he was in The Hunger Games. But yeah, he's absolutely massive.
Oh, good, because that was part of the thing. The physicality of Jack Reacher was part of the deal, you know, wasn't it?
Yeah. This guy's stacked. So yeah, there's a whole new series. So I think I might watch that.
Oh, good. Yeah, because I've read all the books.
The book's got a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, they got a bit repetitive.
I got a bit bored of reading it because the same thing's going to happen every time. And yeah, but they're nicely written and they're easy to read.
Well, I've seen a picture of him. He is massive. Is it? Oh yeah, guy standing next to. I took my picture. He's a big white guy standing next to a black guy. He towers over him, so he's massive. Yeah, that was the whole thing. That's how I imagine Jack. Who is that guy? Hang on, meet the new Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher.
No, but who's the guy playing him?
I don't know.
Alan Richard.
But yeah, that's what I imagined Jack Reacher to look like, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much. That's.
No, they're good books, but they just like get carried away a bit, and I got sick of them. But there we are. It's good. Worth watching that. I'll just say something else. Like, yeah, Ozark. Do you want to notice about Ozark? If you turn it on, Pat, the first thing you notice, and you realise when you watch all those TVs, it's like a blue filter on it, cold filter on it, isn't it, Steve? Have you noticed that?
It's like very dark.
Yeah, very dark and very blue. But that's part of the thematics of the mood.
You'll like it, Pat. It's really good, actually.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Boys, how can we create a Wordle? That was good.
It's been done already, isn't it?
That kind of thing. That every couple of years, something so simple like that comes up and just goes viral. And then that one guy created it. That's all. It's so simple in the way it's done, isn't it? You can only have one game a day. You know, it's shared around, and it's completely, you know, the hits they may get, there's no advertising on the site, nothing. And yet now, who bought it? New York Times. No, Washington Post, is it? For seven-figure sum.
New York Times, yeah.
Yeah, seven-figure sum they bought it for. And I think you know full well you're going to see adverts on there. You're going to get opportunities to pay for more games, all that kind of stuff. But I love the simplicity of it, you know. That kind of thing is amazing. If you create something like that, that's to me, that is the... You know, nooking the ball for six in life. You just create something very simple, very obvious, just goes viral like that. People love it, you know? Come on, boys, we've got brains. We can do that, can't we? I've got an idea.
Yeah, not with words.
Yeah, no, I've got an idea, though.
Yeah, go on.
I won't say it yet, but it involves, involves happymap.com.
Oh, really? Is that coming back?
Yeah, but it's very picture-orientated. I'm inspired by that, though, aren't you? Wordle. It's brilliant, I think. Do you play
it? I always loved how much passion you had for that project and how much effort you put into it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was too complex. Now I'm going to go something simple, just catchy, good, you know, and things. So, yeah, I'm into that. So
I'm pleased you found your thing, though, after a while.
Yeah, well, stocks and shares is my thing. But
That's what I mean. Yeah, I'm pleased you found your specialty and your.
Wow, I've just seen on the market, just come up with an update on a house, right? Look at this. It's like a castle. I'll send you this. But I get a fair bit on the market. They get everything before. I'm not investing on the market, but they get everything before Rightmove and Zoopla. And this thing here, I'll text you now. But it's like, just like 3 million it's worth. And it's like a castle. You want to live there. What do you live there for? God, unbelievable.
And it's, I live there.
Oh, no, inside. It's quite modern. But
that's nice.
Anything up in this week, boys? Anything worth looking at?
Some rugby, isn't there?
Rugby going on.
I'm looking after my nephews this weekend, so I'm going to teach them all about Scotland. And then if Scotland lose, then we can be English. That's the beauty of having
So it's Ireland, Wales at 2:15 on Saturday. Then there's the Calcutta Cup, 4:45, Scotland, England, in Scotland. And then it's France, Italy. Nobody cares. That's on Sunday. Who cares?
I'll tell you what, though, we talk about this every year, don't we? Like how Italy should be expelled. But Italy is your first game. It's such an amazing advantage. It means you can just get moving again. The team can play nice, easy, low stress like that. For France, that's huge.
I'm worried for Wales. I think they're hammered this season. I don't know. Anyway, there we are. Any thoughts on the week, Steve? Anything you want to talk about? Anything at all before we go? Are you courting? Are you in love with someone? Are you dating? Are you on the apps?
All of the above.
Are you still doing
all of the above?
Have you given up?
You're in love and you're dating.
On a business side, Steve, those apps, right? Have they just whittled away now? Because people used to rave about those apps, didn't they? Like swipe right and all that. They've gone. Are they still there? Do people still use them?
No, they're very much still there.
Well, it depends if you know anyone who's single who uses them, I guess, isn't it? You probably don't really speak to anyone, do you? So you're not going to really hear about it.
No, yeah. But do you still use them or not?
Occasionally pop on, but I don't really take it seriously, to be honest. It's just got a bit boring, to be honest.
Maybe the way to meet people these days, just go out in a bar, in a pub, it's a bit novel, and then chat to people.
Just go to a gym.
People find that weird now when you just walk up to someone and start talking to them.
Yeah. Or a friend of a friend, you know? Yeah. You get that a lot, Steve. Friends, you've got quite a few friends. The friends that introduce you to friends.
Yeah, well, I tend to tell friends now that if they want to set me up, don't tell me they set me up, because that doesn't work.
But you often go walking with a foursome. Who's the girl you go walking with? Is she single?
She's actually, yeah.
She'd go there.
But Steve, already you've got walking in common.
Spend a lot of time together.
Not really my type, but.
Okay. She likes walking and she's a female.
What happened to the sailor?
She likes walking and she's a female. What more do you want, Steve? But picking you? God.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
All right. All right, boys. We'll have a nice weekend and we'll speak you next week.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. Bye. Sorry.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.